531.
The global COVID-19 pandemic has shifted the way many groups are having to continue campaigns to raise awareness and push for change. This week, groups across the Pacific will be taking part in the Matangi Malohi movement, forging a pathway for a just recovery from the changing climate and global pandemic. Matangi Malohi means strong winds, and the Pacific have strong young leaders taking our stories and messages as an example of resilience. We cross over to Fiji now and talk to Alisi Rambukawanka Nadiwa, who has a strong background in marine science and youth work. Bulavinaka, Alisi, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Bula, it's such a pleasure to be a part of your show this morning. Thank you for having me as well.
It is our pleasure. Now, tell us a little bit about Alisi. Where was Alisi born? What are some of the most important landmarks in Alisi's life? And why is Alisi in the space she is now with Matangi Malohi?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're wanting me to tell the whole story. Okay, I was born right here in Fiji, in the town of Singapoka, which is pretty much rugby country in Fiji. Strong Christian family background, grew up Methodist. What else? I attended an all-girl boarding school. I studied marine science at the University of the South Pacific in Suva, and at one point I joined a pageant, and that was sort of a segue into the work around the climate justice space, when you start to realize that even as young people, you do have a bit of influence, and whatever space that, whatever platform you have is a good thing to try and use it to navigate people towards issues and get them to focus on some important things in whatever little way. So, yes.
Now, you just glossed over and just mentioned the fact that you were in a pageant. Let's be more specific about that. You were, in fact, a former Miss Fiji and former Miss South Pacific. So, belated congratulations on that. But with experience in and her study in marine science, were you able to use that Miss Fiji and Miss South Pacific platform as a way to make people aware of the issues with climate change in the Pacific?
Yes. Part of the reason we joined as well was because we participated in this global youth program, and one of the things I studied during that 2 month stint was on sustainable global development, and sustainable youth for environment and conservation. And so throughout the pageant, when I joined the Hibiscus in Suva, to winning to go to the Miss South Pacific pageant, which was in Apia and Samoa, I continued to use the platform to talk about environmental issues. I talked a lot about sharks and shark conservation. And then the journey continued and I won, and then I got more space, more of a platform to speak. It extended into other important things for me around, protection of our environment, issues that are affecting our environment on climate change. And so, I was very interconnected, and it was a great opportunity to recognize that I had that platform and then trying to use my knowledge or understanding to share a bit more with those around me, especially for us in Fiji in specific.
Share us a little bit more about shark conservation. I didn't realize that sharks were actually in danger in the Pacific, Alisi.
It's funny. That's a topic that's come up quite recently because there's been a lot of shark sightings closer to shore, and people are whipping out their cameras and taking videos, and they're like, oh my God, there's sharks here, and they're sending it, to my friends, colleagues, and like, what does this mean? And we're like, well, sharks do live in the ocean, first of all. I think it'd be a bit more sweet if we saw them walking around on land. but you know, they sharks are an important part of the marine ecosystem because they help to maintain balance in that ecosystem as well. As far, you know, the interdependency of the coral polyps that build the coral reefs, the small shrimp that the larger fish feed on, the big sharks, all our shellfish and everything that filter the water, they all have an important interconnected relationship, and if anything were to disappear or die out, it affects the entire ecosystem. And you know, that's how I guess we can look at it as a whole. You know, we need everything that's in the ocean, and if one starts to disappear, it impacts on the relationship with others. And so if you want to protect the whole ecosystem, you protect every bit of it.
Yeah, really, really, really important that in terms of the whole conservation, because I was speaking to someone else who was working on the conservation and the revitalization of mangroves in Samoa. And as you know, you sometimes look and you think, oh, mangroves, they're so ugly. I'd rather have a nice sandy beach. But the importance of mangroves in terms of the survival of fish in the islands is can't be understated.
Yep, that's true, because they most of our fish, our shellfish, our crustaceans, our crabs and everything, at one point of their life cycle is spent in mangroves, and it helps to protect them and shelter them from predators and allow them to grow. So yeah, it's an important ecosystem too. Yeah, aside from, you know, storing a lot of carbon from our atmosphere as well.
Now, what is Matangi Malohi? Could you tell us about what Matangi Malohi is and what this week means for Matangi Malohi?
Well, Matangi Malohi means strong means. And I think maybe if I step back a little bit to talk about the Pacific Climate Warriors. They've always looked at September as a month of mobilization, and the Pacific Climate Warriors, we have chapters all across the Pacific, as well as in the diaspora. And, you know, traditionally, at the beginning of the season of creation in Christian faith, September has been like a month to leverage our faith organizing and faith partnership. Now, in 2019, the Pacific Climate Warriors had a Pacific power shift, and then there was a convening, and then that's where the story of Matangi Malohi began. And it means, again, strong winds. And it's talking about taking the story of messaging and mobilizing across the region. You know, climate strikes, and this year we're approaching that season again, and we're looking at, you know, messaging and framing our mobilization towards a just recovery. Yeah? And, you know, now with not only climate crisis reality, but also COVID-19, we know that the answer to a just recovery lies in our traditional knowledge and systems by indigenous people worldwide. And we want to use this mobilizing in September as a moment to access our networks and tell the story of our people's resilience in the face and of the impacts of both climate crisis and COVID-19.
And how are you using technology to do that now that we're no longer able to travel between islands and between countries? How important is the role of technology in your campaign to raise awareness of climate change?
Oh my gosh, it has been so important. And I mean, I don't know, maybe I might be overstating to say that it's been almost pivotal in the work. Especially like when COVID hit, and then we couldn't meet and mobilize the way we normally do in large gatherings and convening people together in one place. And so one of the things that 350 Pacific did this was convene a Pacific Power Up Fellowship online. It was a 3-month course where we got participants to come and sign up, and they did all these training modules. And so that's what happened. Like the platform shifted to an online space, and technology became really important to keep people connected. But at the same time, the training within this fellowship was to give people the tools to be resilient as well. And that again goes back for just recovery and looking at the five pillars of just recovery. and how we can make people resilient, how we can focus on health and body, ensuring we put people ahead of corporations, building solidarity and community across borders, you know, and providing economic relief directly to the people. And so, yeah, technology is just like trying to train them online. And it was, you know, there were a lot of lessons learned from that as well. But it became the, one of the ways. And also trying to figure out creative ways to mobilize now. And with so many amazing actions being done by our different sections across the Pacific and also in the diaspora.
And I guess COVID-19 has given us time to pause and look at what's really important, and that's probably made your message even more resonant among our community in the Pacific.
Yes, that is so true. When COVID hit, travel fees, people at home. You know, again, there are also job losses and a lot of changes in the economic landscape. Yeah, people really had to start in terms of what's the priority, what's important. And, you know, this became things like, you know, being with family, community, supporting each other, you know, knocking on each other's doors, you're okay. During this food on the table that people have to eat daily, you know, like, and it came down to, like, sort of those basics, everyday human interaction, all the things we learned in Sunday school about caring for your neighbor and checking up on them and being kind to each other. It really came down to that. And for us, for this, you know, week-long campaign as well across the, in Fiji and across the Pacific, all of the campaigns are geared towards that as well. And it really does resonate, makes people realize how important these things are. And they're also based on our indigenous values and principles.
And finally, Lisi, it is Mental Health Awareness Week this week in New Zealand. Just a message for our communities, both in New Zealand and throughout the Pacific, about the importance of our mental well-being in this current environment.
So important to be able to talk, and that's something we just say, you know, to find someone to talk to is the other bit of the equation. To have that group, that community that you can share with, or maybe just a person. And I know if you're struggling, sometimes it's hard to reach out and ask for help. And if you have that one person that you are comfortable with, you should do that. And you know, for most of us, also to encourage us, if you are in a position where you're able to help someone, just to be a, just to lend an ear or to help in some small, tangible way, be good to put yourself out there and also offer that help to others. Because most times, you know, we just assume people think, people know that we are in a position to help, but we don't say it. It'd be good to say to others, you know, I'm here. If you need anything, I can help. If you need one time, I can give that. And just to be really intentional about how you can help people and tell them specifically what ways you can help them. You know, geared towards providing that support mentally as well. And just, you know, telling people that it's okay to share the emotions and to speak up about what they're feeling. And not to shame them, because I guess in the Pacific we have this thing about, you know, like making fun of people, mocking them almost every time they try and talk about their feelings. But, you know, to try and be more attuned to people and listen to them when they're sharing about some of the struggles they may be going through, even if they're sharing it in like a joking way.
And finally, the importance of the work that Matangi Malohi does. Could you talk to our listeners about our environment and what we as individuals can do to make a difference?
What I can do is talk a bit about some of the activities that we're having across different groups. So for example, in Melbourne right now is in lockdown, but they were still able to mobilize in a very creative way, where they've gathered artists to create postcards, you know, drop plants that are native to Melbourne and have some very traditional medicinal uses as well. And so they've gone with a podcast, and then what they're doing is they're delivering to different leaders around Melbourne, you know, and to share about the importance of plants, the medicinal properties, the traditional knowledge around that, and, you know, just how important it is to protect these things. Because, again, for people's health and to know it. In Fiji, we're having also this week-long event of Talanoi sharing, talking about our faith, talking about traditional knowledge. Also, the Navy sailors will be coming to talk about the work that they're doing currently. And we even have a project that will be launched in our community fridge that will be set up here at the KCC Pacific office, where we'll be inviting people to come and give food that, you know, they're not using, and can share also, you know, for people coming with urban gardening going on, we've been planting vegetables, you know, planting seeds, you know, just like planting seeds figuratively and literally to help community, and trying to show people these are like small, practical things that you can do to help your community. And in doing that, I also want to show people, you know, how you can do this and encourage that in your small communities, in your groups around the system and around the world, these are things that you can do to also help. I mean, you might not be able to touch the world globally, but if you can touch your neighborhood and help there, that's a plan.
Alisi Nadiwa of Matangi Malohi, Vena Kavakalevu, for your time and, of course, for the work that you do for our community.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.